We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
The Rob Brown Show rolls on. Our Numinatus is live, baby. Coming to you from the couch here at the Casa de Love. Rob and Diesel with you on a beautiful but chilly upstate Tuesday afternoon. Warmed up a little bit. It's all the way up to a blistering 46 degrees outside. We are talking South Carolina football right now, keeping an eye on that coaching search. The latest news is that right now Shane Beamer is enjoying the support of a large number of South Carolina former players and alum, but that Billy Napier does have himself an in-person interview this weekend, which leads a lot of us to believe that while Beamer may be a distant front-runner, this job is not guaranteed to him, although there are insiders in Columbia that right now are saying that Beamer has basically already got the contract written. Now it's just a matter of printing it out and signing it. We are going to keep looking at that, obviously, as this story continues to develop about the interview. It looks like it will be Saturday or Sunday. The discussion is that it will likely take place probably over in Atlanta, or either Ray Tanner, Bob Kasman, or both will fly down to Louisiana and have a discussion with Billy Napier face-to-face on his own grounds, keeping an eye on that as it develops. But we want to talk to you about it. 844-477-3776, 844-GSP-ESPN. Text us at 71307. Put a poll up on the Twitter, twitter.com/ESPN Upstate, twitter.com/ESPN Upstate. Want you to go vote on it right now. Reports are that, and the poll question reads as such, reports are that the USC job is basically Beamer's at this point, but Napier has an in-person interview this weekend. So, are you hoping Napier is a good enough interview to push Beamer out, or do you want Tanner Caspin to go with the Oklahoma assistant head coach? Leave your vote and opinion below. The question is, Napier to take the options are Napier to take the job, Beamer to hold the job, or neither. Write in your vote below. So far, with 7 votes in just a few minutes, we've had this up for about 3 minutes now. 7 votes in, and Beamer to hold the job is the most picked answer thus far. But I want yours as well, and we'll add your votes to this on the air and through the text line at 71307. If you want to vote in on that, just text us ESPN and then the name of who you want as the head coach, whether it is Billy Napier, Shane Beamer, Jamie Chadwell, or anybody else. Text 71307 with ESPN and the name of who you want to be hired. I will add it to the Twitter votes, and we'll see at the end of the show who the Gamecocks fans are leaning towards in this coaching search. Let me get Ralph in here. He's kind enough to hold through the break. Wants to talk a little South Carolina coaching search. Oh, we, of course, as I'm going to Ralph, he drops off. Ralph, give me a call back, 844-GSP-ESPN, 844-477-3776 is the number. Ralph, if you want to check back in, I'll move you to the front of the line. I've got two votes for Billy Napier and two votes for Brent Venables. I'm going to say I don't see Brent Venables' name anywhere in terms of the folks in the know who are in the circles of folks who are going to be making this decision. I don't see Brent Venables' name anywhere. I'll tell you the truth. I don't think that Brent Venables is an option for you at this point. I don't think that Brent Venables' name is being floated. Honestly, I don't think you're pulling him out of Clemson to come to South Carolina if Venables decides that he wants to tip his hat into a head coaching position. I don't think South Carolina's on the list of schools that are going to pull him out. I've got another vote for Shane Beamer. That's from Chuck, and another vote for Shane Beamer. So right now on the text line, I've gotten four votes for Shane Beamer. I've gotten two for Billy Napier and two for Brent Venables. Although, like I said, I don't think you're pulling him out of Clemson to come there. Though we will see. Ralph is back in on the line. Let's get Ralph on the air with us. Ralph, welcome in, buddy. Appreciate you taking a couple of minutes. Welcome to the show.
Yeah, I appreciate it there. Friggin' morons. Anybody who wants Beamer is a friggin' moron. What in the friggin' world would you want a guy who's on fodder would hire him to be a coordinator? I don't even understand this logic. Only my Gamecocks and the people running the crap show down there in Columbia would even be considering this. You got a Chadwell, you got a Napier. Hugh Freeze isn't in the mix. It's one of them two. These guys are established head coaches. They're used to doing more with less, and that's what we need. We don't need some experiment. We don't need some Beamer. But he coached special teams, for crying out loud. And we're going to take – listen, Marcus Lattimore runs. Vic Hampton plays defense. These men don't make decisions. We pay people to make decisions. You don't ask players who they prefer – you find out who's qualified to do the job. Now, I'm sick of Ray Tanner. This guy has got to go. We need to get somebody down there and notice what the crap they're doing, because this Beamer thing could blow up, and we could be 5 years further behind Clemson than we are right now. And I can't take it. I can't take another 5 years of this.
So you're pushing. Billy Napier's got an interview in person with some combination of these guys moving forward. Are you pushing for Napier to have a good enough interview that he pushes Beamer out of the lead?
Oh, heck yeah. If that's my option, of course, a guy who went to Louisiana and won, who I know can run some offense. I don't know what Beamer can do except coach special teams and recruit some good players. There's about 150 guys out there that can do that. We need a leader. We need somebody who's got experience. Muschamp, he was the Beamer at Florida, and it didn't work, and then we were stupid enough to give him another job, okay? So, and he even had coordinator experience. Beamer doesn't even have that.
Can you do me a favor, Ralph? Can you call them friggin' morons one more time just for my own gratitude?
Friggin' morons. Every last one of them down there if we end up with that guy. Have a good day, fellas.
Appreciate you, Ralph. And I got to say, Diesel, since I've been here for 9 months, that is potentially clubhouse leader for my favorite call so far.
Well, that's
like, we've had a lot of good ones, but that was money.
That's exactly what we talked about in the break. Why are you going to give this guy, who's just got a couple of coordinator spots at jobs all over the country, the keys to an SEC program? I can't in good conscience pay somebody round about $3 million a year, which is right about what Will Muschamp was making. I can't pay this guy that kind of money and to probably end up having to fire him and buy him out again in a couple of years. Hire a guy who's got some head coaching experience, who turned a team around, just like he said, brought Louisiana back from nothing. They were on probation when their old coach left them, and he brought them back. That's the guy you want. Don't hire a guy just because his last name is Beamer. And if that's who you hire, that's why you're hiring him, because his last name is Beamer and nothing else.
So I'm looking for the if you will, the silver linings of Shane Beamer, since he seems to be the clubhouse leader right now. There's a handful of them, all right? Now, I don't know that any of them are going to ease the concerns of, for instance, Diesel and Ralph there. Friggin' moron. By the way, friggin' morons is the new catchphrase of this show, Diesel. I'm going to go ahead and make an executive decision. From this point forward, anything we don't like is described as a friggin' moron. Silver linings for Shane Beamer. I think there are a few. Number one, yes, he does have, even if he does not have the head coaching pedigree for doing it himself, he does have the experience of being around Frank Beamer, a guy who was very successful for a very, very long time. He's got that to lean on. Number two, he has been involved in a lot of big name programs, some successful, some not. He has been at Georgia Tech. He has been at Georgia. He has been at Oklahoma. He has been at Tennessee. He has been at South Carolina. Number three, he clearly has the support of big name boosters and alum. And in the age of college football that we are in, you must have that support
from boosters, from former players, from alum. You must have that support to be successful. You look at places like, now you can't let them run the show, right? And I think that's a very difficult line to walk because there are a lot of places where boosters think that they are the administration. Again, I'll point you down to the University of Texas, where boosters have been basically calling the shots down there, and you see how that's working out right now. If you get to the point where you're letting boosters and alum call the shots, you're going to have a bad time. And that's what's happening in some places like Texas right now. You don't want to get there, but you do want whoever your pick is to have the support of your boosters and alum. You need them out there acting as ambassadors for the program. And with the boosters, you need them shooting influxes of cash into your coffers. Because while it's great to have game day revenue and TV revenue, booster money is where a huge chunk of that decision-making money comes from. You need them on your back. And Shane Beamer clearly already has that, whereas a guy like a Billy Napier will have to come in and, on top of all of the responsibilities of being a head coach, will also have to be winning over boosters and alum at the same time, which is not an easy job, especially and specifically when those boosters and alum wanted to go in a different direction, because not only are you not the guy that they wanted, you're the guy who took the guy that they wanted out of the picture. And any lack of success that you have from the get, they are going to point and go, our guy wouldn't be doing that. Our guy wouldn't be struggling right now. Our guy wouldn't be missing out on that. Our guy wouldn't be the guy that's going out there and losing these games. Our guy would be getting it done right now, and it's going to drive them even further away. Shane Beamer won't have to fight that. He's already got them in the back pocket. So those are your silver linings with Shane Beamer. The question is, with those three or four things out there in the open, Diesel, does that maybe ease your concerns a bit about bringing in a guy who does not have any head coaching experience at this level?
No, because the feel-good hire almost always sucks. Don't hire the guy that makes you feel good. Hire the guy who's going to win, because you know what? Winning makes you feel good. Feeling good doesn't necessarily make you win.
Yeah, but here's the thing with that, right? The way that you phrase that, it's almost like, and I say this respectfully, Diesel, that's like a duh thing to say. Like, of course you want to hire the guy that's going to win, right? That's like it's like when I watch.
So
TV
then, don't
with
screw it up and hire the guy that doesn't have any experience.
But does, and I guess that's my question mark here is, does not when he's been around a lot of head coaches, some very successful, some not so much, which being around people who are unsuccessful can absolutely teach you lessons as well. Uh-huh. I've been around a lot of radio guys who weren't successful, and I took a lot away from them as well because I know exactly what the hell not to do. I still do it sometimes, but you get the point. I learned the lesson. Whereas you look at a Billy Napier, a guy that's had success as a head coach, but in a much, much smaller venue, if you will, than South Carolina. Is there any weight to being around successful programs as an assistant or assistant head coach that can outweigh being a head coach but doing it at a much, much smaller program like Ooh La La?
No, and I'm going to break down your argument and destroy it in about eight different ways. How many coaches who have come out of the Bill Belichick tree have sucked? How many
Most
coaches who have come out of the Nick Saban tree have sucked? You sit here and tout Shane Beamer's pedigree like he's got so much more of it, and Billy Napier has none. And again, it sounds like I'm sort of standing here for Billy Napier, but did anybody forget that he spent time at Clemson? Did anybody forget that he spent time under Nick Saban? This guy's, what else do you need? Why do you need 10 jobs where he spent a year and a half at each one of them? What's wrong with having time at Clemson and Alabama, arguably the two best college football programs over the past decade, just because I don't get it. And he's got head coaching experience.
For the record, just to be on the record, I agree with you.
Are you going
to
be okay after I just stomped you like that?
Are you going to put me up on a YouTube video with like a thumbnail of you yelling at the camera?
Yes.
Radio host destroyed in 30 seconds. Click here. Smash that subscribe button. Mash that bell. Stay updated with the channel. Thanks for watching, guys. You're watching the Diesel on Radio YouTube. I got my YouTuber voice down, son. Down. No, for the record, I agree with you. Billy Napier is the guy that I'd hire, right? If it's my decision, I'm taking Billy Napier. I agree with it. For the record, I've agreed with everything you said. I am trying to view this as the reason that Shane Beamer is the leading guy. And the number one and two things I have here are, number one, he's already been inside the program. He knows the area. Number two.
So he knows which door is the men's room door? Woo. No, hire that guy.
I think
he knows which bathroom to go in.
That more means he has a relationship with coaches and high schools for recruiting, et cetera, in the area. Not so much he knows where the bathroom is, but you know, whatever silver lining you need to go find. Again, I agree with you. Billy Napier is the guy I'm going for. Billy Napier is the guy that I'm pulling in for. What I'm looking at is, again, why is it? Now, a couple more texts that have come in at ESPN. Dabo was an assistant coach until he got a shot at head coach. And that's a, it's a valid point, right? It's a valid point. Dabo Swinney was not a guy with head coaching experience before that, at least off the top of my head. I don't believe he had any head coaching experience before that. He was a almost unheralded assistant coach, but he knew the area. He knew the phone line, or the phone line, I'm reading text. He knew the area. He knew the recruiting. He knew all of that, and he was a guy that clearly was ready to build his own culture, and that was the premier hire of the last 15 years in college football, with the exception of Nick Saban, right, at Alabama. So that to me is the spot. But we also have to point out, and I think Diesel would make this argument, so let me destroy my own argument in 15 seconds, hit that subscribe button and mash that bell. That is also the exception, not the rule, right? Hiring an assistant with no head coaching experience and have them turn into Dabo Swinney is the exception, not the rule. That is a gamble. Clemson won the lottery. If Clemson didn't hire Dabo Swinney, there would have been a lot of people at the time who were looking and going, good, I'm glad we didn't hire that experienced assistant with no head coach experience and go in a different direction. That's a gamble, man. That's a long shot gamble too. I mean, that's putting all your chips down on zero and hoping it hits instead of betting red or black. That's what that is. At ESPN, Rob, quit talking to Diesel. He has to be busy with the phone lines with all of the U of SC fans calling and texting the show. Again, I think you will get more feedback on the number 15 team in the nation, which is the second best SC team. Wow, a little parting shot there, giving some love to Coastal Carolina. And at ESPN, Ralph needs to call in more. What an accent. Ralph, I have to tell you, my man, on the text line, you have developed a cult following, all right? Ralph, you are now mandated to call into the show once or twice a week with your thoughts because you have garnered a cult following on our text line, and I agree with it entirely. Friggin' morons!
New segment, Friggin' Morons with Ralph. Just
you know
call
what?
In and tell us who you think is stupid today.
Diesel, build the liner. Build the imaging now. Once a week segment, Friggin' Morons with Ralph, who's going to call in to just tell us who's a friggin' moron this week. Ralph, congratulations. You've earned yourself a ticket to the medium time. You've got your own segment on the Rob Brown Show. Friggin' Morons with Ralph. All right. Quick break. We'll come back. Keep taking your thoughts and opinions. Go to the Twitter poll, twitter.com/ESPN Upstate. I have asked you, do you want Napier to push Beamer out of front for the job? Do you want Beamer to hold it, or do you want to write in somebody else? Right now, 62.5% of the votes coming in say that you want Shane Beamer to hold on to the job as is and not have Napier push him out with an interview this weekend. Quick break. Back after this on the Rob Brown Show. It's ESPN Upstate. Show that is taking place right now, right here in our area. The lights are up. It is the Upstate's biggest and best interactive light show right now at Greenville Pickens Speedway. It is open. There are over 32 million lights in this show, synchronized to the music of your favorite holiday Classics. You can take your time, park, enjoy watching the lights dance to music right there from in your car. Kids can enjoy the drive-through petting zoo, the kids' light show, and more. They have a 70-foot decorated Christmas tree. And again, if you want to get out of the house, but you don't want to get out there in the pandemic, it is all drive-through. You don't have to get out of your car. You can drive through the petting zoo and feed the animals from your car. It is fun for the whole family. Load up the car, bring the kids, buy your tickets and the new fast passes to skip the line at upstatelights.com or like them on Facebook at Upstate Holiday Light Show. It's located at 3800 Calhoun Memorial Highway in Easley. Give them a buzz at 864-295-5764 for more information. 864-295-5764. It is the Upstate Holiday Light Show taking place right now at Greenville Pick and Speedway. 864-295-5764. Welcome back. It's the Friggin' Moron Show with Robin Diesel right here on ESPN Upstate. Quick phone call. We got Dan Scott, the voice of Furman Basketball, joining us in the next segment to take a look at what they've got going on. But I want to get Ken in here to talk a little bit about the USC coaching search. Ken, welcome to the Rob Brown Show. Thanks for taking a minute, man. Great to have you.
Good to be here, man. I enjoy your show. All right. First thing, diehard Gamecock. Been a Gamecock for over 40 years. To me, there's only two names that should come up for this job is Napier and Beamer. Now, the reason why I'm on the Beamer train is plain and simple as this. I like Napier. Everything Diesel said is true. But there's one thing I like about Beamer over Napier is the fact he's been in Columbia. You're not going to come in at South Carolina and establish what you do. Let's talk about Spurrier for a second. Spurrier was known for what? Before he came to Carolina, throwing the ball all over the field, scoring 50 and 60 points a game. He didn't do that at Carolina. He had to recreate what he used to do and do something different. We had to run the ball a little more, and we had to have a top-notch defense. We weren't throwing the ball all over everybody. It was a more balanced attack. At Carolina, you have to win a certain way. You have to recruit a certain way because you're surrounded by bordering states, bordering teams that are elite right now. Gamecock fans need to understand that. We got elite programs around us that we're battling. We're not a national brand. Clemson, Georgia, Florida, they're national brands, and that's who we go to bed with every day in recruitment. So Beamer comes in. Beamer's seen the program. He's seen the blueprint on what Spurrier's built. He's got the Letterman behind him. He's got boosters behind him, but he's been a part of what has worked in Columbia. So he got something to feed off of a little bit more than what a Napier or what a Caldwell or a Chadwell or anybody else. So I think he gets a little bit of a head start on stuff like that. The coaches in high school love Beamer, just like they love Napier around here. So he's got a good networking system. But the thing is, I think to win at Carolina, you've got to understand Carolina. Carolina is not like anything else. It's not, by me saying that, I'm not saying like it's elite because we all know we're not, but Carolina's just a different place. I mean, you just can't come in and say, I'm going to run air raid and it's just going to work. Nah, you can't do that. You've got to find what works for the Garnet and Black. And I think to me, what I feel works is somebody who has seen a little bit of the blueprint and has a passion to be here, a want to be here, a drive to be here. I mean, do I feel like Napier would stay if Tennessee, Auburn offered? No, I don't. We don't know for sure. Not them jobs ain't going to come open yet. And then as soon as they come open, if we don't have a coach, Napier's going to turn that way. Or LSU, he's already in Louisiana. We don't know that. What we do know is Shane Beamer has a love for the University of South Carolina, kind of like Dabo Swinney's passion that he has at Clemson. Give me a man with fire, and I'm willing to take a chance. A fire for the school, not a fire for the money.
Respect
so that's
it.
That's what I feel. That's just my opinion.
Respect it. Good take, Ken. Appreciate that phone call, man, and I don't disagree with you. We will we'll revisit what Ken had to say coming up in a little while. I do want to come back and address that, but we got to get out of a break because Dan Scott, the voice of Furman Basketball, joins us up next. We're going to take a look at what Furman's accomplished so far. They got another game lined up tomorrow. All that and more coming up next on the Rob Brown Show. This is ESPN Upstate. Welcome back to the Rob Brown Show right here on ESPN Upstate, 97.7 FM Greenville, 97.1 FM Spartanburg, all around the world on the radio.com app. We turn to the phone lines now. Welcome in the voice of the Furman Paladins, friend of the program. My buddy Dan Scott joins us here on the show to talk a little Furman basketball. How you feeling, big fella? The Paladins, undefeated, 2-0 at home. It's a good start.
It is a great start, and what made it even better, and I don't know how many of your listeners will pick up on this or not, but Winger, as your bumper music coming back in from break.
Listen to my guy on the music.
Put a bandana for nothing now. Come on.
Good stuff. I love it. My man Dan Scott, voice of the Furman Paladins. Not only is he a whiz on the mic for the Furman basketball squad, but he's a whiz with his guitar rock, too. I respect it, Dan Scott. Well done. You have just increased your Rob Brown Show listener rating, if I may. I'm impressed.
Well, there was nowhere to go but up, so let's hope that's a good start.
let's talk a little basketball. First and foremost, man, I got to tell you, and I'm going to blow smoke for just a second. I was at the opening day game against Tusculum last week when you guys were on the call, Mark Ryan sitting in on color commentary. Before we critique Mark Ryan on the color call, I got to tell you guys, man, what an experience. And I cannot wait till the world goes back to normal and I can see what Timmins looks like with a packed crowd. But to have just a couple of hundred folks in there and have such a phenomenal basketball team playing, what a great basketball venue that place is, and what a great setup for that team, man. It was awesome.
Rob, I have to tell you, when I first started here, and I'm in my 10th season now behind the mic, God's been really good to me to give me an extended stay with Furman. The home crowds in a normal setting weren't much bigger than that. Basketball had been allowed to just kind of drift for a long, long time. And in the last six seasons, can this one be in year number seven, the way things have turned around and the way that Timmins Arena has become an incredible home arena, home court advantage for this team. You ask people who were there 10, 12 years ago, they would have never thought they'd have seen this day coming. But when we're in a normal situation and we get in those conference games and the students are there, they've really embraced it. It has become a fantastic home court advantage, and you get about 2,800 people in there when it's full. You know, it's as an arena, it was built as a multi-purpose place. It's got its flaws for basketball, but they have done their best to address that. And I'm telling you, man, that place gets loud when it's full.
Yeah, I have no doubt. Just from like what I saw, I mean, I know I there were a couple of looked like other athletes from other sports in there. I guess some parents may have been in there as well. I mean, there were only a couple hundred people in there for that game, and you could feel what that place is. Beautiful video board up in the corner, live DJ spinning music down in the corner instead of the old standard PA setup. What a beautiful place for basketball. And on top of that, to walk out of there with a 95-62 win over Tusculum to start the season off. I mean, look, you're playing a D2 team. That's one of those games, and I know you guys talked about this a little bit on the air in the post game. After I left, I was listening to you guys on the post game, and you pointed out that when you play those D2 schools, that let's be honest, they're clearly just overmatched. It's not so much about getting that win as the lessons that you can set up and take away from those types of wins. I thought there was very balanced basketball, multiple players in double figures for Furman that night. What other lessons would you say Furman has learned after a win over Tusculum and, of course, a win over South Carolina Upstate?
Well, I think learning would be the better way to put it. And then talking about the younger players, there's always the learning curve of the level of defense that it takes to play at this level. And as long as I'm in this business, I'll never forget the years I was at Clemson and doing what you do for 3 hours a day and having regular conversations with Oliver Purnell when he was the basketball coach for Clemson at the time and had such great success there. He always talked about having to rid his freshmen of what he called the high school trot. And that you go down, you hit a basket, you turn and you trot back down the floor. You can't do that at this level. And you know, you work on it in practice. You do everything you can do in live scrimmaging. But until you get in a game situation when the lights are bright and you're playing somebody else in a different color uniform, you really don't understand. And even if it's a Division II team, you are learning things. And that's a Division II team, by the way, A, that's pretty good, number one. And number two, the fact that they were using it as an exhibition, they played 15 players in that game, which means that they were – you know, running fresh guys in and out, and Bob stayed pretty much to a 9-man rotation. Nobody expected Tusculum to even come close to beating Furman, and they didn't. But the point is that there are a lot of things that you can only learn in game situations. And for the freshmen who were playing for the first time, they got a bit of a baptism under fire. And that's the great thing as a coach. You get a 30-some point win. I said this on the broadcast. And then you get to go back and show them what they did wrong on the film. That's the best of both worlds.
Dan Scott, voice of the Furman Paladins here on the Rob Brown Show on ESPN Upstate. I was listening to your pregame interview with Coach Bob Ritchie of the Paladins, and it was kind of interesting because you asked him, you said, you bring out your starting five. We know your starting five, but who's going to be getting significant six-man energy minutes? And he answered by not only giving you six, but he gave you his seventh and eighth man. He said, look, we want to find a balance. We want to be able to run guys out there and know that we're not going to drop off in terms of consistency and play. And against Tusculum in person, I saw that happen. I saw Furman trotting out a number of guys to come out and get some minutes. I think Foster had 18, Anderson had 15. You had multiple guys coming off the bench that could come in, fill in gaps, but the intensity never dropped off. Is that kind of the hallmark of this squad this year?
It has to be. And if it's not, you're not going to play for Bob Ritchie. And you know, the thing about it is he is going to, in these early non-conference games, he is going to play some different combinations that people are going to scratch their heads about. But he is adamant that he's going to play a rotation of nine deep. Go back to last season, Rob. They had a seven-man rotation that they could count on. And, you know, you get into some foul trouble. You have some other things go on with fatigue or whatever the case may be as the grind of the schedule goes on, and that begins to wear down on you. And you have your frontline guys playing on an average about 38 minutes a game, maybe a little more in some cases. What he wants to do now, he's told me on a couple of occasions, is he wants to try to keep those frontline guys, that starting five, averaging about 32 minutes a game if he can, to try to keep them fresh. The flip side of it is he's trying to figure out how to play with a 9-man rotation because it's the first time he's had that much talent and depth that he's trusted. Three of the four in that top nine have never played in a college basketball game until the Tusculum game. So it's a learning curve for everybody, and he's kind of forcing himself to stay with those rotations and go against the instincts from the past couple of years when he hasn't been that deep. So you may see some strange-looking lineups. You may, as a fan, wonder, why is he doing this? Why is he doing that? If we get to the conference season, you're going to see why it's going to pay off, because those youngsters are going to have had a baptism under fire, and it's going to make them better the longer the season goes.
One of the things I loved about this team, aside from the balance, is that there were guys that just seemed – to have a heat seeker turned on to the basketball. And Clay Mounts was one of those guys, 23-10 in that win against Tusculum, the old double-double to lead them past. And this cat just always seemed to be offensively in the right place at the right time, which to me says that's a team that has great off-ball movement. That's the team that knows how to move around the floor and create openings and create opportunities without the basketball. Clay was just kind of the illustration I used in that first game, because he did the same off the glass as well. But talk to me a little bit about the way that Bob Ritchie likes his offense. Because like I said, I was watching that game from underneath the basket. Tons of off-ball movement. Nobody was standing still waiting for one-on-ones, et cetera. I loved watching the way that team moved off the ball.
One of the things that's unique about Bob's offense is that they run very few set plays. They have very few what you would call set offenses, that they run mostly out of concepts. Now there are some certain times that they do set up things intentionally. But mostly what they do is run off of concepts that if, you know, if defender A does this, then I'm going to do this off the ball. Or if he does this, I'm going to do this. So what it does, number one, I think it makes it harder for the opposition to scout them. It keeps the offense flowing, keeps it more fluid. And, you know, you need an example. I don't know if you got to see the USC Upstate game or not, but it was a sluggish start for both teams. 8 minutes into that game, it was a 7-7 ball game. And you look up at the end of the game and Furman scored 91 points. And you ask yourself, how did that happen? Well, the offense got rolling, and just what you said, great ball movement, guys moving without the ball. But the key of all of that, Rob, is it started defensively. They started hammering down on defense. It led to some transition baskets, and they got things flowing. And that's usually the way it works in the college game. If you can get your defense sparking your offense, it's going to make your offense flow better in the half court, and that's what we've seen. So, yeah, I've just been really, really enamored with what Bob and his staff have done offensively and how they're balancing the use of analytics, which they are heavy into, but with also the eye test and what they see happening at the same time. It's a fascinating thing to watch unfold on a game-by-game basis.
Talking about Dan Scott, the voice of the Furman Paladins. All right, Dano, I know you got a meeting coming up to get ready for tomorrow. South Wesleyan coming in to take on Furman. 7 o'clock tomorrow evening. You'll be able to hear that game live tomorrow right here on ESPN Upstate. What can the folks watching that game or listening to that game right here on the Upstate expect out of this team tomorrow as the game plan continues to sharpen itself up early in the year?
I think it's just going to be more of the same. I think you're going to see him spend some time with four of those youngsters on the floor, getting as many minutes in as they can to just try and keep seasoning them as much as possible here in the non-conference. We expect to see Mike Bothwell do what Mike Bothwell's been doing and those front five guys. I want to see Noah Gurley, who has not had two really good games yet. He's been off to a little slow start. I'd like to see him really step forward, because three of the next four games after Saturday or after a Wednesday are at Richmond, at Cincinnati, and at Alabama. So, the level of competition is going to ratchet up in a hurry. So, you'll just see them go out and do their thing. There's not going to be any major changes to the game plan or anything like that. It's all about getting better and preparing. And then we got a piece of good news today, because in COVID, you never know, radio's actually going to be able to travel to the Richmond game. So Tom and I get an actual honest-to-goodness sports-related radio road trip. Can you believe that?
And, of course, Richmond fresh off of an upset win over Kentucky. So no slouch of a team there, and a team riding a very high high. That's going to be a real interesting game to watch coming up on the 5th.
And all of a sudden, number 19 in the new AP top 25 after that win over Kentucky. So yeah, it's going to be fun. But got one tomorrow night. It's another Division II team, but it's a well coached D2 team, and you don't want to overlook anybody. But you go out, do your thing, and then, like I say, three of the next four, you'll start to get a better feel for this basketball team.
Final question before we let you go, Dan Scott. I need you to critique Mark Ryan's performance on color commentary. I was in the building, so I didn't get to listen to it, and I want you to hold nothing back. I need you to just let him have it.
Well, I would say, first of all, for three guys who had never worked together before, he, Tom, and I, trying to fit three guys into a basketball broadcast, chemistry-wise, it wasn't bad. There wasn't a whole lot of stepping on one another. He was, I think, playing the role more of a talk show host than he was trying to be an analyst. He asked a lot of master of the obvious type questions. But I don't know if you noticed this or not, but we isolated him. He had his own section.
I
we didn't
did
kind of let
that.
Him up.
I thought it was a little diva-ish of him to demand his own section, but it is what
no,
it is.
No, it was actually our decision to kind of keep him away. We didn't want him near the equipment and messing anything up. So
in fairness, Dan, you are not the first person to try to keep Mark Ryan away. So don't feel bad about that.
I made a reference. He said was for it's the first time he'd been referenced this way in his career. And I don't know if you remember this, Rob, but a number of years ago, I'm a Cincinnati Reds fan, so I happen to remember watching this. They went to San Diego, and Charlie Sheen bought the entire left field bleachers and sat it out there by himself, hoping to get a home run ball. So I correlated Mark having his own section to Charlie Sheen, and I don't know if he took that very well or not, but I call him like I see him.
Well, if I remember correctly, there were no home runs for Charlie Sheen that day and no home runs for Mark Ryan either.
I love it. Absolutely love it.
No, you guys sounded phenomenal. Cannot wait to hear that game coming up tomorrow against South Wesleyan. And then, of course, on the road at number 19, Richmond, a huge test for the Paladins, but one that would put them back on the national map if they can pull it off. Dan, appreciate your time, brother. I know you're busy. Thank you very much. And we'll get you back on before that Richmond game.
Anytime, Rob.
Looking forward to it. That's Dan Scott, the voice of the Furman Paladins. Appreciate his time as they get set up to take on South Wesleyan tomorrow. Back after this to wrap up Hour 2 on the Rob Brown Show. This is ESPN Upstate. The Rob Brown Show's on your radio. 2 hours going in the books right this very second. Thanks to Dan Scott, the voice of the Furman Paladins. You'll hear him on the call tomorrow, I love you, tomorrow, as they take on Southwestern. We come back, got a few more points to address. Still want you to text in. Do you want Napier? Do you want Beamer? Do you want Chadwell? Who do you want now that we have the information that we have? Read you some of the texts we've gotten over the last hour. All that and more in the next hour. The Rob Brown Show. This is ESPN Upstate.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.